Another big story on our sort of on our radar at the moment, João Rodrigues. Now, he's the man who was charged with killing Ahmed Timol. He's passed away. He had been charged with killing Timol, who fell to his death from John Foster Square police station. If you've ever gone into the Joburg CBD, you'll see that big building. It's 1 Commissioner Street, I think it is, right at the bottom of now Commissioner Street. And it's John Foster Square. It's a big blue and grey building. And what happened back in the 1970s is Ahmed Timol, he fell to his death from one of the top floors from that building. And the security police at the time had said, no, he jumped out. He committed suicide. But there was a big inquest into this. And they found it differently. And João Rodrigues, he was the man who was charged with actually throwing Ahmed Timol from that building. And he was killed. But João Rodrigues, he was going to stand trial. He has now himself passed away. And on the line is Ahmed Timol's nephew, Imtiaz Kaji. Hi, Imtiaz. Good afternoon. Welcome to 702.
Good afternoon, Ray. Thanks for hosting me.
Very difficult day for your family because justice wasn't served, was it?
No, most certainly. As they say, justice delayed is justice denied. And if you look in my uncle's matter, Judge Billy Motley made his historic verdict on the 12th of October 2017 that Rodrigues be charged as an accessory for murder in my uncle's matter. And he had, Ray, his first court appearance on the 30th of July 2018. And subsequently to that, he's had 19 court appearances paid by you and I as taxpayers, including him taking his matter to a full bench of the South Gauteng High Court, as well as the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein, who also dismissed his application for a permanent stay of prosecution. So there was a clear strategy on the part of his legal team, successfully executed to ensure that they prolong this matter for as long as possible. They continue getting paid by the state. And the reality is that Rodrigues goes to his grave without making full disclosure of what happened to my uncle. And this is a painful reality in a democratic South Africa.
Imtiaz, did the inquest in any way help in bringing some sort of, not closure, but answers, I would say, to what happened? Because there was always, like I said in my introduction, that big argument that this didn't happen and the inquest found something else. Did that inquest help your family to bring some sort of closure?
Most certainly. Remember, this is unprecedented. It was the first of its kind in a democratic South Africa to get an inquest finding reversed. Because the annals of history will continue to reflect that Bantu Stephen Biko, nobody was held accountable for his death, like that of Imam Harun and Mopetla Mohapi and Nicodemus Kowati, and so on. So most certainly, the inquest was very, very pivotal because it allowed us to ensure that his verdict got reversed from committed suicide to that of being murdered. But for me, more importantly, post the inquest, I continuously reached out to Rodrigues Ray for him to make a full disclosure of what transpired so that we could deal with this matter professionally, amicably, to ensure that there's no prosecution and there's genuine reconciliation of a nephew and a perpetrator meeting each other halfway, of him showing remorse of what role he had played in my uncle's death and demonstrating to the country that we intend moving forward. But this was never forthcoming. It was very clear it was not forthcoming. And the reality speaks for itself that he will not be held accountable.
So what was his reaction to you then? When you spoke to him, was it just stone cold? Was there anything there?
No, it's absolutely nothing. You see, I think it's the psychology behind it. And this comes from the likes of former President F.W. de Klerk himself. Heading the Nationalist Party, not taking responsibility for atrocities committed under his watch and under previous heads of the Nationalist Party. And the foot soldiers like Rodrigues just followed suit, not prepared to take responsibility. I think the one exception over the years has been that of the late Paul Erasmus, who came clean, who made full disclosures. And this is what we as families are encouraging, for people to come forward, make full disclosures, and meet families halfway, so we can put this painful history of us, of the country to bed and use it as a platform to build this country. Because this is what the lives of my uncle and many others would have wanted, a better life for all South Africans, and they were prepared to die for that, Ray.
Yeah. That The day that that happened, what's something that does sort of stand out quite a bit is João Rodrigues. He could not have acted alone. He couldn't have been there alone. To throw somebody from a window, that person's going to push back. That person's going to fight back. There has to be somebody else also who could be held responsible for this.
No, most certainly. I mean, this has been the entire argument from our legal team. That his version of events, which he stuck on at the 72 as well as the 2017 inquest, was that he was alone in the room with my uncle. My uncle was free of any injuries. He then darted across the table, opened a closed window, and jumped to his death. When two forensic pathologists provided evidence that my uncle had more than 27 anti-mortem wounds on his body prior to his fall, the trajectory expert demonstrated, Ray, that if my uncle would have dived out of the window from the 10th floor, he would have ended up on Commissioner Street. Yet his body laid only 2 to 3 meters away from the wall and very, very quickly moved, which was another crime because an injured person should not be moved. All forming part of the cover-up in our view that Rodriguez's version of events was not correct. And this is what we're continuously reaching out to him to make a full disclosure so that we can deal with this matter honestly. Which is ideally what we're all looking for.
So what happens now? This guy's gone. João Rodrigues, he is gone. What happens for your family now? Because you still want answers. You still want closure. What's next?
Well, I can't see the criminal trial proceeding because obviously he's not living. I would imagine that after the Supreme Court of Appeal dismisses application, Ray, his legal team took the matter to the Constitutional Court, the apex court in the country. And we were waiting for a date to be set for that hearing to be listened to. So I would imagine that would proceed because it will have a direct impact and bearing on the outcome of the inquest of Ernest Dipali, Dr. Neil Agate, and that of Dr. Hussein Hefferji currently playing out in Pietermaritzburg. And it will set a precedent as to how the state deals with apartheid era perpetrators not prepared to make full disclosures, and how they must be dealt with.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. Ahmed Timol's nephew, Imtiaz Kaji, thank you so much for coming on to 702. I do really appreciate you making the time to chat to us this afternoon.